That is a little snippet of what people in Wayne County believe about the gospel. And actually, they represent about 5,000 people within a five-mile radius of this church who don't understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the reason that we're doing this series called Advance, which the word advance means to move forward in a purposeful way, out loud with words, is because we believe that there are 5,000 people within five-mile radius of this church that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes we get lost in this safe little environment, thinking that everybody knows. That everybody knows about Jesus. Everybody knows the gospel. Everybody knows what it takes to be saved, but that's really not the reality. And so our hope is during this series to help us all together to understand the gospel and how to share the gospel. Because one of the things that this morning that really convicted me was, you know, I don't think it's just people outside of the church that don't understand the gospel. I think maybe that some people here don't understand the gospel and don't understand what it takes to have eternal life with Jesus Christ. And I thought of my dad. You know, my dad took us to church for 20 years. He took us to church for 20 years and was never saved until he was 42 years old. A man from Rowdy, Kentucky came to the East Union Mennonite Church and preached the good news of Jesus, and my dad invited Jesus to be his Savior. And it changed his life. And I hope if you're sitting here this morning and as we go through this series, if you don't understand the gospel, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you will do that. That, you know, my dad, I don't know if it was pride, if it was fear, if it was just satisfaction with life, but there was something that kept him from inviting Jesus to become his Savior. But he kept showing up for church. So I hope that's not you. I hope you can clearly explain the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you've received the good news, and you've made him Lord of your life. And I believe as a person that's been transformed by the gospel, by the good news of Jesus Christ, I have a responsibility to take that gospel to my neighbors, to the people I work with, to the people I rub shoulders with, and invite them into relationship. You know, Romans chapter 10, beginning of verse 13, it says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." He says, how can they call on the one on whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one on whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone telling them or preaching to them? How will Wayne County, Ohio, know about Jesus if we don't tell them? If we as followers of Jesus don't tell them? And so this series, Out Loud with Words, is about us telling people about Jesus. Now, I know what some of you are sitting there saying, but look, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Well, saying that you can't share the gospel because you don't have the gift of evangelism is like saying, I don't pray because I don't have the gift of intercessory prayer. You see, we're all called to share the gospel. Now, because of our giftings, because of the way we're wired, you know, I will share the gospel differently than Keith will share the gospel. It's about us sharing our stories and sharing Jesus with the people that God invites us to share the gospel with. Because the reality that we have to wrestle with is that you and I know people. That if they die today, they face a Christless eternity. In other words, their eternal destiny is hell. And does that really burden us? Does that really pierce our hearts that family members we know, friends that we know, are dying and going to hell, and I don't care enough to tell them? You see, the consequences of this sin problem that all of us have is eternal separation from God. And the thing is that we, as followers, we have the answer. You see, we can tell them that God created us to live with Him. And that our sins separated us from Him. But that sin that separates us from Him, that sin, it can't be removed by being a good person or showing up for church or doing stuff. It's only through Jesus Christ, and everyone who trusts in Him and Him alone will have eternal life. And that life, that's a life that begins now, lasts forever. And our young people know this is the gospel acronym that you're going to be hearing more about. This is a way to help us to navigate a gospel conversation. But the reality is Jesus is the problem to everyone's sin problem. You know, several weeks ago when Judge Van Sickle and the prosecutor, Dan Lutz, were here, I was talking to them, we were talking about the opioid crisis, and they said, the only answer to the opioid crisis in Wayne County is Jesus Christ. We have the answer, and we have the responsibility to introduce Him to those who don't yet have a relationship with Him. And Jesus tells us in His final words to His disciples in Matthew chapter 28, beginning of verse 16, we know this as the Great Commission. This is what Jesus invites us into. Remember that he had been crucified, He had resurrected from the dead, he had appeared to them here and there, and then told them, come to the mountain, I've got a final command for you. And so it said, then the 11 went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. It says, when they saw Him, they worshipped, and some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority is given to Me on heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And as we look at this passage of Scripture in Matthew, we have to trust in His authority. He said, look, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. The one we've trusted as our Savior, the one who lives in us, He says, I have been given all authority. And the claim that He makes there is foundational to what He's about to tell them and the command that He's about to give them. What He says to the church right here is, look, I have all the authority in heaven and on earth, and I put them at your disposal to accomplish the mission that I am about to give you. You see, our success isn't based on how smart we are, on how much money we have, on how gifted we are. It has nothing to do with us. And we have to begin to understand that, look, sharing the gospel has nothing to do with us, other than us being obedient. He says, look, I will give you the power. I have the authority, so I will give it to you. So we must trust in His authority and His word in our lives, in our ministries, in our churches. We must be motivated by His word. His word is authority. Do we trust what it says? Do we believe it enough to do what He tells us to do? You see, we believe here that God's word is powerful, and it's powerful enough to transform lives. And so when I share the gospel, I have to remember it's not me sharing, it's the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in that person who I am sharing with. All he says here is, look, do what I tell you to do. I'll take care of the rest. And so we have to, if we're going to advance the gospel, we have to trust his authority and that he is enough. And that he is going to do the work. Then I must follow his strategy. And he lays out his strategy right here. We must obey that strategy. And when you look at the life of the disciples and you look at the life of Christ, you know, Christ had a strategy of compassion. In Matthew chapter 9, it says that in verse 36, it says that when he saw the crowds, as he was ministering to them, he saw the crowds, it says he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said, look, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers is few. So as Jesus looked out over the crowds, as Jesus looks over Wayne County, he has compassion. Because he sees thousands of people who are lost, who are sheep without a shepherd. That was Jesus' approach to people. When he looked at people, he had compassion. Now, when you look at the disciples, if you go to Luke chapter 9, verse 51, it says that time for him approached for him to be taken into heaven. It says, Jesus set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead who went to the Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But he said the people did not welcome him because he was heading to Jerusalem. And it says, James and John came to him and says, Lord, shall we call down lightning on these guys? Do you want us to kill them? The disciples didn't see compassion on these people that were lost. And I have to wonder, so when I look at lost people, when I look at people who are being sinful, because that's what they do, do I look at them with compassion and with the knowledge that Jesus could solve their sin problem? Or do I just want them to be gone? Do I want to call down lightning and fire on them so that they just go away? It says Jesus had compassion. And so as the church, if we are like Jesus, and it says that when we receive Christ, when he lives in us, we become more and more like him. So I must have compassion as I think about sharing the gospel. And, you know, these guys had watched Jesus for 3 years. They saw that compassion coming through. And so that day that they were standing on that mountain hearing his one last command to them, I think they heard it differently than what they had heard it in those first 3 years. And so I think when he said, therefore, he says, so I have all authority that it's been given to me on heaven and on earth. He says, therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. So what does it mean for me? What does it mean for them to go and make disciples? And I think it's the same for us as it was for them. They watched him. They watched him do ministry. They knew what a Christ-directed ministry looked like. And do we know what that looks like? You know, one of the things that we're offering on November the 3rd is the strategy conference, which what the strategy conference does, it takes a day to talk about, to follow the life of Christ and to see how he did ministry. From the day he was baptized until the day he resurrects into heaven, we will learn how to disciple people. A Christ-centered strategy for sharing the gospel and walking with people. But But I think as I look at this Christ-directed strategy, what does it look like? And I think the first thing that we have to understand that I think the disciples understood was Christ was their vision. They knew that they had to fix their eyes on Jesus. And remember in Hebrews chapter 12, it says that let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. So I must keep my eyes focused on Jesus. Because if I want to share Jesus with people, I must first have a relationship with him. I must love him. And we should love him so much. We should have such an incredible relationship with him and be growing in that we should want other people to have the same experience that we have. But it begins, this whole thing begins with me having a relationship with Jesus and staying focused on him. In one of the books that's going to be available out there to you, Greg Steer makes a comment, if you fall in love with evangelism, it will fizzle out. If you fall in love with Jesus, you will always have a desire to share the gospel. So this is about falling in love with Jesus. And as we fall in love with Jesus, it will become our passion to share the gospel. So brothers and sisters, let's keep our eyes focused on Jesus throughout this process. Let's not make this just a strategy. Let's not make this a formula to live by. Let's fall in love with Jesus and then figure out how we're going to advance the gospel, strategically move forward. And when you look at the life of Christ, the way that he did ministry is the first thing we see in the Gospels is that he invited people to come and see. It says in John 1, verse 37, he says, when two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus said to them, what do you want? Rabbi, they said, where are you staying? And he said, come and you will see. And so for us, Jesus just said, look, come and watch me. He didn't invite them to make a commitment, right? He just said, come and see. And so when we talk about the gospel acronym, I think the GSP, I think what that's doing is says, come and see. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let's have a conversation about Jesus. Let me understand where you're at. Let me tell you where I'm at. Just come and see. And after we've invited people to come and see, there comes that point where we have to ask the question. And Jesus said, later on, he says, come and follow me. Come and follow me. And so we go from come and see to say, come and follow. What's keeping you from following Jesus? Inviting people into relationship. And I think that's where we fall short oftentimes is we don't invite people into relationship. We tell them we go to church. We're good people. We say, look, I'll just be a good example. But we never get to the point where we say, come and follow Jesus. So he said, come and see, come and follow me. And then he said, I will make you fishers of men. You go from being a seeker to being a believer to being a worker. And if that sounds familiar to you, because that's the four-chair discipleship that Jeff taught during our breakouts last fall. That's what Dan Spader talks about in the four chairs. You begin by being a seeker. All of us at one time were seekers, wanting to know about Jesus, being interested in Jesus. And then comes that day when we make the decision to follow. We say yes to Jesus. We invite him to be our Lord and Savior. Now we're believers. Now what? And so often we let new believers just go. And we think they can just make it on their own. But it's when they become believers that we have to grab them and we have to begin to walk with them. We show them how to be followers of Christ. You know, every one of us who is a believer should be trying to move people from seekers to believers to workers to disciple makers. Part of my responsibility as a believer, as a Christ follower, is to walk with other people. And that's, I think, something that's really missing. I mean, some of you have had the incredible opportunity to have someone come alongside you and say, come and follow me. Let me show you how to follow Christ. Let's follow Christ together. I had a young guy tell me here a while back that when he was about 16 years old, a guy came up to him and said, I want to disciple you. I want to walk with you. I'm going to show you how to follow Jesus. And he said it changed his life. And there's no secret formula to doing this. It's just showing a new believer or a younger believer how you do your Christian life. And these aren't things, look, I just want to be really honest with you. These are not things that are optional. As a believer, that is a responsibility that I have. To seek people out and walk with them. To be intentional. Are we doing that? Out loud with words. It begins by inviting, by saying, come and see. It begins by you telling people the hope that you have. And you know, our young people have, I think, done an exceptional job of having gospel conversation. If you want to ask them about having gospel conversation, talk with one of them. They have lots of, and makes me so proud to have a group of young men and women who are willing to go to their schools. To hit the streets of Chicago is one thing, but to go to your schools and to share the gospel is something completely different. And you've been doing that. And we have a lot to learn from you. And I think they should spur us on. But this simply comes out of, it should come out of my love for Jesus that I do this, and my love for other people. You know, Jesus says at the end of that, he starts out by saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And he says, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. I want us to remember that it's up to Jesus to save. It's my responsibility to share. It's Jesus' responsibility to save. It's their responsibility, the person I share with, their responsibility to respond. I just have to do my part. And I'll be honest with you, this scares me. How many of you does it scare to think about sharing the gospel with somebody? Let's be really honest. So not many of you, so we should be in good shape. See, we're in this together. with Jesus. And this all begins with prayer. Next week, Kelsey's going to talk about the cause circle, where it begins with prayer. You know, me praying for somebody. You know, back at the beginning of the year, when we did the concert of prayer, we asked you all to put three names on this bookmarker and begin to pray. And so it begins by me praying. And I want you to be thinking about, I want you to today write down one name of one person that you're at least going to commit to start praying for. Who's that one person that you know, if they died today, would go to hell? Who's that one person that you really care about? And I want you to write their name down. And we begin to care for them. We begin to invest in them. We begin to invite them to our house. We begin to take them out. We begin to care for them. But then we look for the opportunity to share. To share the good news of Jesus that has the potential of changing their eternity. And I believe this will transform our church as we take advancing the gospel seriously. Something else I want you to do, you know, something a couple weeks ago you saw a video, I want you to set your clocks at 10:02. Remember Luke 10:2. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. It's the workers that are few. And so if we all set our clocks at 10:02 every day, and we begin to pray for each other. You know, I begin to pray. I say, Lord, I pray that you would today give Rob the courage to share the gospel with somebody you're bringing to his mind and that you're laying on his heart. I pray for Ed today that you would give him the courage that he would become a warrior, that he would have the ability to share the gospel. And we begin to pray for each other at 10:02 every day. Because we're all workers. And we allow God to begin to do the work. And, you know, this is in the Great Commission, that word go. He says go. You know, the mandate is to make disciples. It's not to go. The way you make disciples is you go. But that word, basically what it says is, look, as you're going, share the gospel. In your everyday, ordinary life, you share the gospel. If you're a mom, you find ways to share the gospel with other moms and dads. We do this as moms, we do this as dads. What about you as students? You do this in the everyday, ordinary rhythm of your life. It's not like you have to carve out extra time to do this. In your everyday, ordinary life, as you are going, you tell people the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. So it doesn't take extra time. It just takes us being intentional. How about, you know, as an employee, you have coworkers. It doesn't take extra time for you to begin to pray for them, to begin to share with them, to care for them. What about as an employer? How do your employees know that you are a follower of Christ? And how can you begin to implement your faith into what you do? And what if rather than just coaching the baseball team or the basketball team, we would begin to be intentional about how we coach? And we would begin to weave the gospel into our coaching. We would look for ways to share the gospel with the kids that are on our team and with the families of the kids that are on our team. What if we would become intentional and that it would be more about than winning, but it would be about winning people to Jesus Christ? What if we would use our teaching platform? What platform do you have as you're going, that you can share the gospel? That's what I want us to pray about. So I want us to be intentional, advance, moving forward in an intentional way. How will you do that? That's what we're going to wrestle with over the next 5 weeks to launch us into an exciting journey. I want to pray, and then I'm inviting Keith up to talk about some things that we've got coming up for this series. Father, as we think about this morning, the incredible gift that you've given us, Father, would you just give us a heart and a passion to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the way that we've been transformed with other people. Father, would you give us the courage to share and the words to speak and remember your promise that all authority has been given to you in heaven and on earth, and that you will be with us even to the end of the age, that Lord, that we would be obedient in our part in sharing, and we would allow you to do the work of saving. Father, as we take this journey together, I pray that we would be transformed. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.